It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It was 50 years ago that the Beach Boys released one of the most influential and beloved pop albums of all time, Pet Sounds, an album considered by some musicologists to be the first concept album, a cohesive set of meticulously crafted songs produced and arranged by the group's creative force, Brian Wilson, who wrote and composed almost all of its music. From its opening track, Wouldn't It Be Nice, Pet Sounds is a thoughtful rock album described as demanding to be listened to rather than danced to. It's credited with inspiring The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album and is number two on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Pet Sounds has been reissued this summer, and Brian Wilson, along with one of the other original Beach Boys, Al Jardine, is coming to Pittsburgh next month as part of a 50th anniversary tour in which they are performing Pet Sounds in its entirety. August 25th, they appear at the Benedum Center. Beach Boys founding member and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, singer, songwriter, and guitarist Al Jardine joins me now by phone. Al, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Pretty good. We're in the middle of a summer tour and are taking a short hiatus, traveling circus, as I call it. It's gets a little tiresome for rock guys our age, so we have to take a couple of days off every once in a while. So we're in Kansas City right now.
You and Brian Wilson have been out on the road performing Pet Sounds, and people in Pittsburgh are excited about the show here next month. Why do you suppose that this album still matters so much after 50 years?
Well, it's meticulously thought out. It's not often, you know, that the music let's put it this way, there's not too many people with the aptitude of Brian Wilson that are around today or yesterday, for that matter. He's an iconic genius when it comes to the creative process, and there's no way really to define it other than to appreciate it in its entirety. I think Pet Sounds encapsulates a certain aspect of his growth musically, and to define it is something for the music scholars. You know, it's not something that any one of us are really qualified to do. If you want to know the truth, he would tell you that the most underappreciated aspect of that particular project is the vocals. The amount of time and quality that we produce vocally, I would say, would be, in my opinion, musically, I would say that it's the craftsmanship of the songs and the way it flows from one theme to another that amazes me, even to this day. You know, that's why it's appreciated more and more. In the initial stages, it wasn't appreciated at all because it wasn't really a Beach Boy album. It was more of a Brian Wilson album. So it had to go through that process of, you know, where Brian was even interested in talking about it. You know, he didn't tour with us for years, so there was no way to really perform the album. Well, we did a few of the tunes. We did three or four of the tunes with the Beach Boys, but the depth of the music is explored more intensely with this band, or in more detail with this band, because Brian is interested in expressing that now. When you do a project like this, or any project, you generally move on. You don't look back. We progress. We move forward. You know, keep going forward with more material. And then sometimes you look back. In this case, we're looking back.
Well, let's go back to 1966, and what I've read is that the Beach Boys returned from a three-week tour of Japan and Hawaii to meet up with Brian, who, as you mentioned, had stopped touring with the group by this point and was back home creating what would ultimately be Pet Sounds, which was a real departure from the tried and true collection of upbeat sand and surf songs. What was your reaction, Al, and that of the rest of the group when you returned and met up with him and he presented this material to you?
Well, I mean, we were pretty tired just coming back from Japan. We weren't really rested from our jet lag and things like that. So it was initially a learning process. It takes time to absorb anything new, any kind of concept, any no matter what the walk of you have to stop and think about it, you know, and appreciate it. But we jumped right in and began to get involved vocally and lyrically to some degree. And the process took time because it was different, you know. It was a completely different concept. Really, very little commercial value as far as the label was concerned. Capitol had a difficult time with it, understanding it. We did our best to interpret it, you know, as Beach Boys, but ultimately it was a Brian Wilson album. So, and he even released a couple of singles off of it under his own name. It was a kind of a divergency of sorts that only now it can be appreciated in its true light as a piece of music that stood the test of time. An art, I call it an art form, because he really invented songs that can last a lifetime.
What was your sense of Pet Sounds as you were making it? You know, you mentioned that there were, you know, it was pretty labor intensive. There were many, many takes.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Let's just cut right to it. It was 3 to 6 months. I remember it as being 6 months. Brian says 3 months. I don't know, but you know, sense of time is all relative. But it was extraordinarily painstakingly done and recorded and re-recorded and remastered and mastered, and mastered and remastered. It was never really finished. Things are never quite finished, ever. And I think that's ultimately why we didn't put Good Vibrations on the album. In his mind, I don't think it was ever finished. So it unfortunately didn't make the cut, didn't make the grade.
It was, I guess, a surprise to you guys that Good Vibrations didn't end up on the album. And you were you disappointed?
I was adamant about it. Yeah, we were all adamant it should be on that album, but it wasn't to be. It just wasn't ready.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather.
Pet Sounds, in addition to Wouldn't It Be Nice, had hit songs God Only Knows and Sloop John B. Sloop John B is the only cover song on the album, and you were the one who brought it to Brian Wilson, right?
Yeah, you know, it was my idea, and we released it as a single prior to the Pet Sounds project. It went to top 10 all over the world, top 5, number 1 in many territories. So it was quite a magnificent production, I think.
Home, let me go home.
I sat down with him, went over the song, went over the chords and the concept, but not for this album. It was entirely produced as a single, which I thought would really work well as a Beach Boy project. And I would like to have done more songs like that for its own album, you know, but in a more of a folk context. Now I guess I'm going to get that opportunity. I think in this 50th anniversary, I have a screenplay that my sons and I are working on to present to the producers, like possibly Disney and a couple of other Pixar, possibly to expand on the musical content and the concept of a grandfather and his grandson taking a magical mystery tour, as it were, on the Sloop John B. You know, and it's just kind of cool. I wrote a children's book as well. A little children's book came out maybe 10 years ago called A Pirate's Tale. Sloop John B, A Pirate's Tale. So we're expanding on that now. So it takes time for this stuff to matriculate, you know, because, you know, again, we seldom look back from an adventure like this. And so Sloop got merged into Pet Sounds and basically replaced Good Vibrations as as the commercial quote, I guess the commercial single that would hope propel the album, you know, make it more successful. And the label's always looking for a lead-off single, you know, that can sell an album. And unfortunately, the public just wasn't ready for the more sophisticated, wonderful music that Brian actually created called Pet Sounds. It's just, it was like a marriage, an uncomfortable marriage of sorts, that you have a hit single, but you don't have a hit album because the package was not complete.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Al Jardine, one of the original Beach Boys and a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. He has combined with Brian Wilson on a tour that is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the seminal album Pet Sounds, which is being played in its entirety on this tour, which is coming to the Benedum Center here in Pittsburgh on August 25th. And Al, you mentioned the difficulty, you know, as you recorded this album, you all understood how complex it was and how much of a challenge it would be beyond a few songs to really bring it to the stage. So describe the process of bringing it to the stage now, 50 years later. Obviously, technology has changed. You have a lineup that you're all obviously very confident in to bring that work to life. It must be kind of fun, you know, getting deeply involved in this process and doing these shows.
It's not much different than really a Beach Boys show. It has the same content, for all that matter. We deliver a pretty darn good version of the album. In fact, it's almost like note perfect because of the quality of the players that we have are outstanding, and they've been doing this for quite some time now, since 2000. They've been celebrating Brian's work. I only came on board a couple of years ago to support both the, maybe 10 years ago I joined the 40th anniversary tour for a domestic run, and then be working with my own band, Endless Summer Band, in the interim. And then I rejoined Brian for this 50th. At any rate, this is the culmination of all that work this year that brings to light this amazing album. But not just the album. We also do a great number of Beach Boy classics. We open the show with like an hour of classics. And then we do the show with the Pet Sounds album. It's really only about 45 minutes worth. And then we close with about 20 minutes of an encore. So it's a pretty big show.
Al, what is your favorite track on Pet Sounds? Do you have one?
I kind of like, I like doing I Know There's an Answer.
I know there's an answer. I know now, but I had to find it by myself.
I like that one. I enjoy it. But I also enjoy Sloop. What am I saying? I love saying Sloop, and God Only Knows. I like them all. They're all the. I sometimes am a spectator. I can also listen and appreciate more now what we put into it. I'll even forget to sing. I'm caught up in the music, and I have to remember. Oh, I got to sing here. But it's really kind of neat the way it flows from one track to another. It has a nice pace. It's always fun to pick up a banjo, for instance, on I Know There's an Answer. That's kind of fun, because I used to play the banjo when I was in my folk group. Just stuff like that. Yeah, that's fun.
And that's really where a lot of your roots are. You were more of a folk artist before you became a rock and roll artist, right?
Right, yeah. That's we were going to go down and record Sloop John B, our very first time we ever recorded. But the publisher at that time had other ideas. But yeah, I always had that in my blood. I'm basically just a cowboy singer, you know. I play cowboy chords, you know. But Brian had a different idea about this particular project. So when you're in the presence of greatness like that, you generally, it lifts you up a little bit, quite a bit, I should say. And you just embrace it.
I like this album so much, and I have a hard time picking a particular favorite. But what I get from this, and I think a lot of people feel the same way, there's an overriding sense of longing when one listens to this album, that a song like Caroline No, for example, really conveys. Al, how would you sum up the mood of Pet Sounds?
That's not true. Oh, Caroline, you break my heart.
Melancholy. There's a lot of melancholy in it. You Still Believe Me would be a song of hope, a wonderful song of positivity. But then you have the overwhelming melancholy that pervades the album as well. There's a lot of loneliness in it. And then I think a lot of people relate to that. Because we all have moments of feeling isolated and lonely. And I think that's what... But then there's the areas of great positivity. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, you still believe in me. And I guess I just wasn't made for these times. Well, it's kind of somewhere in the middle. Well, anyway, that's what I think draws people together, is they relate to those feelings of happiness and also loneliness.
The cover photo of the album depicts Carl, Brian, and Dennis Wilson, Mike Love, and you feeding pieces of fruit, I guess it was apples, to a bunch of goats at the San Diego Zoo. And everything seems harmonious in that photo, but reportedly that was not the case. What exactly was going on there?
It was idiotic, if you want to know the truth. I mean, to even have that photo on the cover. The music department and the photo people obviously didn't get together on what the album really meant, you know, what it was about. They just heard the title and they thought, well, we'll send these guys to the zoo and take a picture. Really stupid. I thought it should have something more romantic. And then they put the pictures of us in Japan on the backside, which is even more idiotic. Right? I just couldn't believe it. So you have a big disconnect with the audience right off the bat. Mm. Big disconnect. And I think that didn't help.
Before we wrap up, Al, are there any particular memories that you have of performing in Pittsburgh? Pittsburghers are very prideful people, and they love to hear, if you have any of them, stories about any particular memorable experience you might have had here.
Well, I'm trying to remember. We've always enjoyed playing the area. I remember the rivers. I remember the three rivers for some reason more than anything. They're all these multi-layer, you know, many layers of memories that most of them positive, all of them positive, really. Sending my suit out, putting it in a door in a hotel, my white suit, and it coming back two sizes smaller because they washed it. I remember that.
Your white suit?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just thought of that. You actually put your stuff out in a door, you know, from the inside. And then from the outside, the valet would pick it up, you know, with another key, that kind of thing. It was an old hotel down at Pittsburgh. Anyway.
I remember the white suits, yeah.
Well, that one came back a lot smaller.
Well, what did you do? You had to go on stage.
I don't know. I just had to wear something else. But it was so funny when I think about it. But, no, it's amazing. It's quite a great town and a... I always follow the football team there, too. I try to deal. So, yeah, hats off to Pittsburgh, and we'll see all the fans there, hopefully, on the 25th.
Well, I think you've just scored a lot of points with the folks here, Al, so good job. We've been talking with Al Jardine, one of the original Beach Boys, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and he is touring with Brian Wilson this summer, a 50th anniversary celebration of one of the greatest, if not the greatest, albums of all time, Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. It's been reissued this summer, and the 50th anniversary tour brings them to Pittsburgh. On August 25th, they appear at the Benedum Center, and we've been talking with singer, songwriter, and guitarist Al Jardine. Al, it's been a real honor and pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, man. Well, here's looking at tomorrow.
Good vibration.